this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 43. Happy belated Mother's Day. I thought I was going to have an episode out last Monday with a one day late Happy Mother's Day, but it's now Saturday when I'm recording this, and oops, we just had one of those weeks where I had a great Mother's Day, but Julian got really sick right before Mother's Day, and then he got better on Mother's Day. So, you know, babies and there are many, many bugs. And then Nathan got sick, but me and Pippa have dodged it. Maybe we got it first, maybe we had it before, who knows. So, you know, it was just one of those weeks. And I'm not doing this podcast from, you know, 10 years out from postpartum depression. I'm doing this podcast from the trenches. And even though I'm doing great emotionally, spiritually, physically, I have little kids. I have a 4-year-old who's getting fairly, you know, quote-unquote self-sufficient in that she can put on her clothes and she can find a graham cracker. But a 4-year-old still needs a lot of work. And Julian's 18 months, which, hello, I mean, he's not a newborn. He can burp himself. It's, you know, it's a miracle. But the kids are just so much work. So I'm doing this from the trenches, and sometimes I just can't get it done. And I know you understand. And so, coming up on the 1-year anniversary of the show, I have to say I'm really proud of myself for doing this. Not for doing it for a year, because once I got started, it was really easy to do, because I just love doing this. I love sharing the stories. I love getting to interview moms. I love the guests. I love those of you who send me emails. I love those of you who don't. I love having one thing that I can do every week that is making a difference for someone out there. And I love that this will be out there for years and years. So hello to the future. And if that gets annoying, don't let me know, because I'm not going to stop. And if you tell me it's annoying, I'll probably just do it more. So I love this podcast. That said, I'm going to give myself a summer vacation. I have been thinking long and hard and just looking at the way I live my days and my projects, and I'm in the final push of getting my memoir ready for publication. So here, let's hit the pause button. So for those who haven't heard all the episodes along, and I haven't been great with giving book updates, I'm writing a book about my adventures with postpartum depression, which will be a much expanded version of the episodes I've already done about my postpartum depression. And I, after a couple of years of on and off work, finished up a draft and hired an editor and gave it to her last October. And she got me edits back way before Christmas. And basically, they were fantastic comments, but I'm new. As much as I've always wanted to be a writer, I was a lawyer for many years. And the way a lawyer writes is very different from the way you would write a book about postpartum depression. So she had a lot of constructive feedback. And I really want to make this book as good as possible. So I've been overhauling the book, and it's been an incredible learning experience. And the time I've spent feels very worthwhile, because as much as it would be nice to hit the publish button and be done with the project and on to the next, I want to be a writer until the day I die. So I want to learn how to do this the right way. So it would have been nice if I already knew how to do this before I had postpartum depression, but then who knows what would have been different with my life. And so I really don't have regrets on that front. So it's exciting to be learning this now. And I have kept changing my deadline with my editor for my second round of edits. Like, I think I first told her, I'm like, oh, I'll have it to you by March. And then I was like, maybe the end of May. And most recently I was like, August 1st. And she doesn't care, I'm paying her. But I really want to be done by August 1st so that she can do the edits, and then I can get them done, and it'd be really cool to publish the book in calendar year 2017, just to feel like I did it, you know, the accomplishment. So anyway, that's what I want to do this summer, is get that finished up. And Pippa doesn't have preschool for about 8 weeks over the summer. She has a 5-week preschool camp, but I have her for 2 weeks in June and then the second half of July and most of August. And instead of being like, woe is me, glass half empty, and scrambling for time to get my memoir done, I've decided to just immerse myself in summer with my children. So I'm going to take a summer break from the podcast so that any time I'm able to get for work, I'm actually just going to use for the writing part. But I'll be back. I'm not going away forever. And, you know, I say I'm going to take like about a 3-month summer vacation, and this isn't the last episode. We have an interview today, and then I have two more interviews for you. And then I'll do a big end of season one episode where I don't know, I have a few ideas for what I'm going to do. I have a few weeks to think about that. So you have this episode and three more coming to you. And those of you who have emailed me and we've been emailing about interviews, don't worry, we will get you interviewed. And if you really want to get going in the summer, I can schedule one-off interviews. But for the most part, I'm planning on a 3-month break. And I think it'll be great because I'll recharge. And instead of slowly using up my energy that I have for the podcast, it'll just refresh and like I'll feel revitalized. And I think I'll come back to this with even more energy than I had and excitement than I had for my first episode. And, you know, and what I was saying earlier is I'm not proud of myself for having done this for a year. I'm proud of myself for having started, because I think with a lot of things in life, it's the starting that's the hard part, because you have these inner dragons and they will just come up with like 17,000 excuses why you shouldn't do this or why you should wait. And by wait, we mean never. And I got over that and got this podcast started. And podcasting is actually fairly easy. And maybe one of these days I'll do an episode that explains how to do it. So, looking ahead to the summer break, you can head over to ppdadventures.com and sign up for my newsletter. And you'll be on my email list, and it's just very occasional emails from me. But anytime a podcast episode drops, I'll be sure to let you know. So if a random episode comes up during the 3-month summer break, you'll know when it happens. Or if nothing happens over the summer, then I'll let you know in September when I'm back. I promise I'm coming back. And I have other projects that I want to do, and I don't want to like tell them all, but I do want to get some YouTube videos done about postpartum depression. So if you sign up for the email list, I will be sure to let you know when I hit YouTube. And yeah, that's it. And if going to a website and filling out a form is just too much for your mama brain right now, then hit a new message right now in your email and then send to courtney@ppdadventures.com. All right, type that up. And now go to the Ray line and just write add me or email list. And I'll know what to do. And I'll just add you to the list, okay? Cool. We're done. Was that easier? It's fine. It's painless. I love you. So I want to tell you, I have another project going on before I get to today's guest is Katie Flores. And Katie is a holistic health coach, and she's a mom, and she had postpartum depression, but it actually was her thyroid that was acting up. And the thyroid conditions in the postpartum period can mimic postpartum depression. So she is shedding some light today on an important subject and on something that, if you haven't considered having your thyroid tested, maybe that's, you know, it could be a cause of your symptoms. But gosh, I don't have it in front of me, but I could swear the number is something like 10% of women have a thyroid issue postpartum. So something to consider. But before we get to Katie, I want to tell you about this project I started. When I was recovering from postpartum depression, there was a book, Postpartum Depression for Dummies, that blew my mind. And it was my Bible. It was just full of information about this is what postpartum depression is, and these are the treatments. But more so, it was just, I love the Four Dummies books. I love reading. I love learning. And I love, I mean, I have read, okay, when I first started dating Nathan and he's really into football, I read postpartum, not postpartum, I read Football for Dummies. And just so I could, like, understand this thing he was watching, because I had no idea. Seriously, I knew there was maybe this thing called a touchdown, but I knew next to nothing about football. I have read Wine for Dummies and California Wine for Dummies, because when you live in California, you need to know California wine. And I just found on my bookshelf the other day, Vegetable Gardening for Dummies. Have no recollection of buying it, but shit, I'm going to read that because I love vegetable gardening. So finding Postpartum Depression for Dummies blew my mind, because it was just like, are you kidding me? The For Dummies publishers think postpartum depression is common enough to warrant that yellow book with the common format? Like, it just was such a weight that came off my shoulders. You know, the book itself was incredibly helpful, but just knowing it existed was a big deal. So I have been thinking for years, that I wish that the Postpartum Depression for Dummies was like the Gideon Bible for moms, that it was available in the waiting rooms of obstetricians and pediatricians and any place where new moms tend to congregate. And I was thinking for a long time, like, I should just start donating copies, and maybe I should start a Kickstarter campaign or start a nonprofit or something to find a way to disseminate this book and get it into the hands of physicians and into waiting rooms and children's indoor playgrounds and who knows, what have you. But I made it too big and complicated. And it was like, oh, I can't start a nonprofit. Oh my God, Kickstarter. What? It's just too much to coordinate. And I realized this is something that can be done grassroots, and I can start small. So I started a hashtag, PPD for Dummies, and uploaded a picture of me with a copy of the book that I was donating to a baby class I take with Julian. And I have since then ordered several more copies, and I'm also including, I shouldn't tell you this because I'm the one buying them, but used copies. I am liberating all the used copies I can find. And I gave another one to a mom 2 days ago at my support group, so it was really nice having that copy handy. And what I'm going to do, because this is not purely altruism, I am going to design a one-page printout sheet that I can print out and glue to the inside cover of Postpartum Depression for Dummies. And I'm going to include, since I'm distributing these in Pasadena, some information about places, you know, my Pasadena Postpartum Depression support group info, and a professional support group I know of, and a couple other resources in the area. And I'm going to put info for the podcast, because if someone is picking up a book about postpartum depression for dummies, they may want to know about this podcast. So there is a self-interest. There's a marketing angle to this. And I think this is a great idea for anyone out there who's listening, and maybe you're a therapist, a psychologist, a doula, a midwife, what have you. What a great way to reach people in this digital era of social media where everyone is screaming, me, 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 look at me, me, me. You could just put a book in a waiting room where they're going to end up spending many, many hours during their pregnancy, and will probably eventually pick it up out of sheer boredom. And they can flip through the pages and they'll see your name. And you could even glue in an envelope and stick a bunch of your business cards in there, and then stop by every like year or 6 months or whatever and refresh it. Could be, and it's a really easy thing to do, because you can get the book for 10 or 11 bucks on Amazon. The price fluctuates, as you know, Amazon likes to do. But you could just donate one copy to your kid's pediatrician or to your obstetrician at your next visit. This is, folks, this is advocacy that can take 10 minutes of your life. And you don't even have to go out of your way. Just wait till your next appointment, even if it's 11 months and 3 weeks away. That's fine. That's good enough. We're moms. We don't have to chain ourselves to bulldozers to make a difference. Sometimes I think that we can change the world with books and with sharing information. So there's a hashtag, and if you decide to leave a copy of Postpartum Depression for Dummies, post it on Instagram or email me, and Dr. Shoshana Bennett, who wrote the book, is offering, if you donate one copy of PPD for Dummies to a waiting room site type place, she will donate to you a half-hour consult for a mom in need. And that could be you or any mom you know. Like if you run a support group, it could be a mom who comes by. And she does this by Skype, so she can, you know, anywhere in the world. If you donate five copies, she will donate a one-hour consult or training, which could be with an advocate. So if you're an advocate and you're figuring out ways to reach out to people, I think that's a really, really valuable resource. Because full disclosure, I attended the Postpartum Action Institute last January, which Dr. Shoshana and Jane Honickman founded and they lead, and they are some of the original warrior moms. Dr. Shoshana had postpartum depression in the early 80s, and she was not a doctor yet, and she was not diagnosed, but she started a support group and ran it from home, and you know, it was in California, and she's like, one time a mom came out from Hawaii just to be in the presence of women who understood what she was going through. And, you know, and then she went back to school and became a psychologist and became an expert in postpartum depression and postpartum mood disorders and anxiety. And the book was published, oh, I want to say 2007. I don't have a copy in front of me. But Dr. Shoshana has gone through it, and she said the information is all up to date except for her website. Her website address has changed. But that's easily fixed with Google, folks. You can find her address anywhere. So if you want a consult with Dr. Shoshana Bennett, go and donate a copy to your pediatrician or your obstetrician and take a photo of it and send it to me, and I will make sure she gets it, or post it on Instagram and, oh, look, there goes my phone beeping. I should have put it off. You'd think I would have figured that out after a year of podcasting. Oh, well. So where was I? Yeah, so post that photo or email it, hashtag it, PPD for Dummies. You know, I am going to hammer on about this. I'm definitely bringing the podcast back to just keep talking about this because I think this is such a great way to help reduce the stigma, to spread awareness, and you just don't know whose life you could be saving. And a mom, you could save a woman's life that she doesn't even pick up the book. She just looks at it slant-eyed, but then she sees, oh my gosh, there's postpartum depression for dummies. And that could be the thing that starts the ball rolling on getting her to understand what's happening to her and ask for help and get a diagnosis and get better. So I, you know, advocacy is such a big a way to lift up your spirits and to make yourself feel good. So why not do a little good for the world? Okay, that's enough of that for now. I'm going to turn things over to Katie Flores. And before I do, I do want to mention, though, Katie is a holistic health coach, but she's not a doctor. So this isn't a substitute for medical advice. You should always keep in mind that you need a doctor to diagnose you. Don't use the podcast to diagnose you. I'm not Dr. Google. I'm not Dr. Podcast. I'm not a doctor. I'm a mom and a lawyer, and I'm an advocate for moms and their maternal mental health. And Katie is also very concerned about moms and their maternal mental health. But neither of us are doctors, so talk to your doctor to get a proper diagnosis. But she has a lot of advice with holistic remedies and looking into your thyroid, and I think this is very valuable information, so I want to share it with you today. So let's turn things over to Katie. Hi, Katie. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Courtney, for having me.
So I've been following you for a while on Instagram, but I don't fully know your postpartum adventures. So why don't you get us all caught up?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So my journey began even before I had my daughter. I can't exactly pinpoint when because it was such a gradual process. But after... let's see, the economy had crashed. I had quit my job. I had moved across state for my husband because he had gotten a job and I couldn't find a job. And I think that was like my first real experience with depression because I couldn't find any positions available, and I just felt defeated in so many ways. And things got better as I started getting more work in and that sort of thing. But I never fully got rid of that sadness. Mm-hmm. You know, and I could function like a normal human being. You know, I still went out and I did things, and I woke up every day and did my job and everything that I needed to do. But, you know, as you know, what people see is different than what you're feeling. So I have pictures from back then, and even as my depression had gotten worse after my daughter, you see pictures of me smiling, and anybody would see that she's fine. But again, deep down, I don't know how to describe it, but in my core, like, there's just this sadness mm-hmm. that I couldn't explain and I never fully got rid of. And after the birth of my daughter back in 2014, it was still there. It still lingered. And then when she turned, I want to say between 1 and 1.5, things started to decline even more. Mm-hmm. I started to lose my patience a lot more with her for really silly things. I remember seeing on social media, on Facebook, these moms who were cherishing these cuddles with their kids because they couldn't go to sleep. And here I was just yelling at her, like, why don't you just sleep? And I used to teach. I was a kindergarten teacher. I had even worked with autistic kids at one point, and so I knew that I had patience, but then for some reason, once I became a mom, I couldn't keep it in check anymore. And it wasn't until she was 22 months where I finally, like, it all clicked with me that, oh my God, I have postpartum depression or whatever you want to call it. So that's kind of where it all started. I don't know if you want me to go into more detail, or whatnot, but that's kind of the gist in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you, I know you used a lot of holistic remedies to feel better. Mm-hmm. When did you sort of had a clicking of when you were like, oh my gosh, I have postpartum depression.
I did have that finally click, and I, you know, after seeing some diagnostic tests and stuff on, I shouldn't say diagnostic, you know, scales and things like that, on the internet, and being like, oh yes, that's totally me, and talking to a friend who is a mental health practitioner as well, it was like, okay, I know this now. Mm-hmm. Because it's crazy. When you have postpartum depression, it's not, these are your exact symptoms. You can't measure it in any way. So it's really hard for, you know, doctors or to diagnose, because sometimes what happens is you go in and they say, well, that's motherhood. Of course you're tired. Of course you're not motivated. You know, and so I just chalked it up as postpartum depression. And so she had turned 2. This is what I thought I had all along. I was doing the self-care techniques, stress management, all these things that your therapist would probably tell you to do. Mm-hmm. I was doing, and I had gotten better. So they did help. I remember, oh my God, experiencing alone time for the first time. My husband works crazy long hours. He's a chef. So, I mean, he puts in 14-hour days, which I'm not downplaying what he does at all because it's a really tough job. But I try to explain to him, like, okay, when you have long days or you work work on the weekend, like, I am just as exhausted as you are.
Right.
And, yeah, so with all of that, I didn't really take much time for myself. And even though financially we probably shouldn't have paid for a gym membership for both my daughter and I, but I had to. And because of some of those self-care techniques and taking that time for myself, you know, putting her in childcare at the gym, like that was my saving grace. And I hate to say it because it sounds so selfish, like, hey, goodbye, but that is what I needed. I needed time for myself again. And if that meant doing it at the gym, that was fine. You know, I'd walk on the treadmill, listen to podcasts like yours, and honestly, so you get 2 hours. I get 2 hours of alone time to the gym, because that's how long they will watch her for childcare, and I would use those 2 hours.
Amen.
They had a pool. They had a little hot tub. Like, there were times where I would bring my laptop and, you know, work on business if I needed to. But I used that 2 hours. And it was not always working out. It was not. And things like that, yes, really helped me. But it wasn't till about 6 months ago. So I realized that even the self-care techniques and the stress management that I was doing wasn't working. It had helped. So I'm still grateful that, you know, I put my foot down and was like, I need to do this. But it was still there. It was still there. And I knew I needed to do something. So this might sound a little crazy for some people, but the hippie part of me, I guess, decided there's this like herb shop just downtown from where I live, and there's a naturopathic doctor there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try some supplements. Maybe I have some nutritional deficiencies that I don't know about. You know, sometimes with depression, the doctors will say, well, go outside, get some vitamin D. So I thought, well, maybe it's something's missing. And I went in, and she's doing her testing on me, and she told me that my adrenals were completely shot, of course, because I wasn't sleeping for like 2 years. And my thyroid was off. And that was when everything clicked. And I really wanted to come on today and talk about that, because a lot of what happens is when women who are experiencing their postpartum depression, what happens is they go to the doctor, and, you know, what are the common symptoms of postpartum depression? You're tired, you're unmotivated, you're sad, you have anxiety, all of these things. And even postpartum, you might have hair loss. You know, you go into the doctor and they say, well, it could be in your head, which is so sad. Or they might give you an antidepressant, or they might have you see a psychiatrist, which I do not bash therapy, and I don't bash medicine, because depending on where you're at, you know, there's this huge spectrum for postpartum depression. I would say I was more on the mild side, because I could still, you know, keep these feelings in check for the most part. I didn't have these thoughts of wanting to hurt her or you know, suicidal thoughts or anything like that. So I would never recommend, you know, someone go all natural or anything when you're that, you're there on the spectrum. But for me, doing the things that I was as far as self-care and that sort of thing may help you. But meds, they do have a place for some people, okay? So I'm not, you know, again, I'm not bashing anybody that does therapy or medicine or any of that. But here's something that I really want to stress is what doctors need to be doing is when you come in talking about these symptoms, instead of just pushing it off and saying, and you know, here's a simple answer, there's also another simple answer, and that is to do a simple workup for you, simple blood work for you. And by doing that, and I'm talking specifically for your thyroid, because thyroid issues actually peak pregnancy and postpartum. Think of all the stuff that happens to your body when you have a kid. It's so traumatic on your body. So it's nothing that you did. It's nothing, nothing that you ate or anything like that. It just takes such a huge toll on your body. And thyroid, your thyroid levels and all that should actually be checked. If any mom, quite frankly, comes in talking about these symptoms, because the symptoms of postpartum depression are the same as thyroid dysfunction. So for me, the depression wasn't the answer. It wasn't, you know, the diagnosis. It was the symptom. So people with thyroid issues, one of the symptoms is actually depression. So that was the big light bulb moment for me. And I wish more doctors would test for that. And, you know, if you think that is the issue, there's no reason why they can't. You just ask them, can I get my thyroid levels checked? It's so easy. And then by looking at the numbers, you know, you'll have the answer. You either have those thyroid issues or you don't. If you do, now you have the answer and you can move forward. And there's tons of dietary changes and things like that that can really get you in on the healing process. That's a mouthful.
It's interesting. I've known that thyroid dysfunction mimics postpartum depression, but I had never thought of it how it's still depression. It's just a symptom of some other underlying cause as opposed to just being the entire diagnosis.
And that was my problem. I thought that was the diagnosis and I stopped searching.
And did you?
And then when,
and you thought,
yeah,
it
when
was...
my local doctor told me, it was like, oh my gosh, there you go.
You know, so like the internet empowers us, but then when we self-diagnose and don't get the blood work done, we can end up like delaying our own recovery.
Well, but the doctors don't necessarily know to test for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish, again, that would be just a basic thing that all doctors do.
Yes.
You know, especially postpartum, because so many things are happening to your body, and there's different triggers for thyroid dysfunction, and a couple of them actually happen when you become a mom. So maybe you're not able to handle your stress effectively. Well, hello, like how it's such a huge adjustment when you become a mom, you know, juggling all these different things, no matter if it's your first child, your second or third, it's still a huge adjustment, and you're having to deal with, you know, different stresses. And another big trigger is nutritional deficiencies. So think about how much that baby sucked out of you, you know, for themselves. So if you're not properly nourished, you know, and there's another one too. And this is just more applies to my story. But sometimes antibiotics and that sort of thing can really do damage to your gut. And for me, I want to say when my daughter, see, it's funny me trying to like piece everything together and when things really started to deteriorate for me, but I ended up having a tooth infection shortly after my daughter turned one, and I had to be on antibiotics. Like, sometimes you just gotta do it. And it's funny looking back now, thinking, wait a minute, maybe that was a step into that, the wrong direction, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, that could have impacted my health, and I didn't do anything to counteract it. So normally what health professionals will say, you know, if you have to go on an antibiotic, make sure that you're taking a probiotic, because what the antibiotics do is they kill the bad and the good bacteria. And you need bacteria in your gut, but you need the good stuff. And so you have to replenish it with probiotics. And so I didn't do that either. And gosh, it's so funny now that thyroid was my issue, you know, seeing my history and realizing, oh, that's when things started to get worse, and that's when things started to get worse. And, you know, it was a downward spiral at some point. And again, I didn't have that depression right away. Mm-hmm. It was when those specific instances happened where it started to spiral more and more.
I'm getting my brain around the fact that for you the depression was a symptom. How does the recovery from depression as part of the thyroid dysfunction look? How did that look for you? Did when you started treating the thyroid issue?
Now that I knew the reason, and I knew there's different. How do I put this without sounding like too scientific or getting anybody overwhelmed? Okay, so when I found out it was thyroid issues over depression, and I started treating it, you know, there's tons of different supplements you can take, and you can be overwhelmed by all the information out there as to how to treat it, but you know, I wanted to take baby steps because God knows how overwhelming life already is with a little one. So, you know, I just started making some dietary changes. And within, I would say, a week, certain symptoms started to go away. So I'm trying to think back. This was a while ago, too. So within the first week, I would say I would wake up, and instead of feeling like I was run over by a bus, like I was just so tired, you know, I was happy to wake up. Like, let's go. Let's get this day going. And so that was a huge thing for me. I was sleeping better. So I've always been a good sleeper. Like, I could nap in the middle of the day. I could go to bed at 9. I would be happy. But when things started getting worse for me, I just, like, I would wake up at odd hours of the night and I would just stare at the wall. Like, I couldn't go back to sleep, which was so, that was not who I was. And so, even in that first week of making some dietary changes, I was sleeping through the night. And there was other things that I never thought to be a symptom. It was just, oh, I'm just getting old. Or, you know, one of them was, you know, when I'm sleeping, I was just I couldn't get comfortable. And so I just thought that I just can't get comfortable. Maybe my bed's not, you know, maybe my, I need a new mattress soon or something. And when I started, you know, putting certain nutrients and things into my body, I noticed, wow, I just had a great night's sleep. And I think it's just like this joint pain that I had that wasn't like, oh my God, my joints hurt. But, it, you know, it's really hard to describe if you've never dealt with it. But again, these things happen gradually. If I hadn't figured it out now, you know, could I have arthritis one day or something like that? Yeah, quite possibly. But again, it's not like you wake up and everything's hurting. For me, it was just, man, I just can't get comfortable at night. Like, I, no matter what position I go in, I'm still not comfortable. So those are just like some really, some things that I don't think we think about. I think, we normalize as a society now, like we normalize that, well, you know, bloating happens or, like I'm tired, that's normal. You know, things like that just become a normal part of our life. And it's not, you know, it's kind of crazy.
When did you become a holistic health coach?
Back in 2012, I graduated from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And that was about the time, that was the time when I had moved out of state for my husband's job and couldn't find a job. And I remember like twiddling my thumbs, like, what am I going to do? And I just started getting into health. You know, I had lost some weight and I don't know, just became like, oh, now I'm all passionate about it. And I thought, you know what, that seems like a really cool profession. And I knew I always wanted to be a mom and to be able to stay at home with her and pass down what I've been taught to her too, like, was really important to me. So I thought, well, let's dive in. And I did, and whether or not I was going to do anything with it professionally, it benefited me so much. It opened my eyes to so many things that go on in our society, in our food systems, and all that. But that's for another call.
Well, what advice would you give for moms with a thyroid issue?
I would say, well, first of all, if you think you have it, get tested.
Yep.
I would recommend to women who think that they might have a thyroid issue is to definitely get them checked. And also, if you think you have it and it's like on the milder side, you know, you can do some really simple dietary changes today. I don't have the studies in front of me, but there was, you know, a doctor. I love, love, love her. She just came out with a great book called The Hashimoto's Protocol. And she had done studies with her patients over, you know, thousands of people and said that, again, don't quote me on this because I don't remember the statistic, but it was like 80% of people with the thyroid issues felt better taking gluten out, which is crazy. So the one thing that I would tell you to try as far as thyroid issues is getting rid of the gluten. And I know how hard that is because this is coming from somebody. This is me. Now, I was not always healthy. I grew up on the standard American diet, like processed foods. You know, my parents did the best they could. There were three of us. We always had sports to go to and whatever. But dinner was always a priority as a family. And so, you know, mac and cheese, tuna helper, like all those things were like a staple in our house. So I get how hard it is to hear, oh, my God, I have to give up gluten. Like, this is from a bread girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you're feeling so crappy, you will do anything to get rid of that. Like, I know that everybody listening wants to be the best mom possible. Like, that's why you're listening. You want to do what you can. And so, you know, gluten might be an answer. And I know it sounds crazy, but the protein in gluten, it strongly resembles your thyroid tissue. So I'm going to get a little sciencey here, if you don't mind.
I like science.
But when gluten enters your system, your body develops these antibodies against it, and it flags it to attack it. And so those same antibodies get confused when they see your thyroid tissue. And so they might start attacking it, and that can lead to thyroid imbalance. So, again, that's your science lesson for today. But that would probably be the first, other than getting tested, I would say to go a week. If you think like a lifetime is just too much for you to think about, I totally get it. Go a week and see how you feel. And I guarantee in that week, you will see some big changes in your body.
What foods do we need to avoid with the gluten? Is this just avoiding classic white bread?
Yeah, bread. Bread is huge. Cakes, cookies, anything that has that flour in it.
Okay.
Is definitely a no-no for the gluten. Let's see if I have, you know, there's a ton of recipes, guys. If you're a mom, I'm sure you've been on Pinterest. You could definitely search gluten-free cupcakes. I mean, you don't have to give that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
There's great substitutes out there that you can try. There's coconut flour and almond flour, and there's gluten-free blends, you know. There's a ton of stuff. But when you become, even if it's just for a week, if you become gluten-free, it will blow your mind how often that gluten shows up in, like, your everyday food. It was funny, you know, my daughter loves, you know, chicken strips. Like, what kid doesn't love chicken nuggets, chicken strips, whatever? And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I can't have that anymore because the breading on it is gluten. Or, you know, there was one night, I think we ordered Chinese, and I love egg rolls. And it was like, wait a minute, I don't think I can have that either because the outside is gluten. So if that sounds overwhelming, I totally get it. You know, I'm all about baby steps. You know, I meet my clients where they're at. If they're not ready to give up all the gluten, that's okay. But definitely make those steps forward to get it out as much as you can, as much as you feel comfortable with. You know, again, the baby steps is going to be key. So once you really tackle and feel good with one of the things you accomplished, mm-hmm. put another one in there and see how that goes.
I love all this advice. You are, for the first time, I've had so many people tell me to try cutting gluten, and I'm starting to feel like, maybe the universe really just wants me to cut gluten.
Yeah, but yet you resist it because you're like, I just love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
Bread is so delicious. I get it. Delicious.
Well, I am a bread girl through and through. Like, if you told me years ago, if I could live off of one food and one food only, what would it be? I would tell you bread. And it's funny, you know, some of the things that you crave the most is actually could be hurting your body. It's like this crazy immune response, and I'm not going to go into all that, but if you're wondering, like, oh my gosh, what is my body sensitive to, what is hurting my body, take a look at that. If you're constantly craving a specific food, that's kind of like a big signal. It's kind of crazy, but
it's actually like
a simple test.
It's your body telling you the opposite. Not so much.
Yes.
You're craving this not because you need it, but because you've been putting a toxin in you.
And the thing is, too, like, you could probably find all these articles on the internet as well as, you know, how addictive, you know, sugars and those types of things can be. And I am testament that it is addictive. And it's hard to get off of.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. But if you do, your health is just going to flourish. So, you know, as someone who had struggled with weight for some time, you know, I had a really bad relationship with food. And so someone telling me to get rid of it, it's really it's really hard to stomach. No pun intended, but, or should I say pun intended? But,
yes, either way.
If you come from this place of love, of how you want to feel day in and day out, that is what I recommend to my clients, is just focus on that. Don't think about the deprivation. Think about how you're going to feel after you eat, you know, XYZ. So for me, you know, coming in on a podcast, I want to be focused and I don't want brain fog and all that. So something like a green smoothie or whatever would be great, to get my energy up and to, you know, lift the fog from my brain and all that. So, you know, that is definitely something that I teach, is, again, come from that place of love. How do you want to feel after you eat this meal?
I like that attitude.
Girl, I've had food relationship issues for, that's another call too, Courtney. Like,
well, you know,
I remember binge eating. After my daughter was born,
did you have
like having that moment of silence finally when she goes to sleep, and just going for the ice cream? Like, ugh, it feels so good.
Yeah, I was definitely the depression eater. Most stop eating, but yeah. My body, I just craved that sugar and that hit, that feeling.
Yes.
Okay, for even just the few minutes while I was eating.
And it numbs you, and it almost gives you that energy that you've been craving for so long too. Like, you get that shot of energy from the sugar. Like,
yes.
I get it, because I was in that vicious cycle. When she had turned one, between one and two, that was my roughest, toughest point.
So how are you doing now? You've figured out the thyroid. You've been making some changes. Are you feeling a lot better? I think you said the depression,
yes.
Like, really within a week. How are you today?
Yes.
How is Katie doing?
My energy, it's not where I want it to be, but it's definitely improved. So again, when I wake up, I'm not like, oh my God, did I sleep at all? What time is it? It feels like midnight. Did I sleep? So I'll wake up with a lot more energy than I had been. I don't have as much aches and pains. Like I said, the aches and pains weren't like throbbing. It was just, you know, it was uncomfortable sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I'm sleeping through the night. Woohoo! I mean, not because my daughter's finally sleeping, but because I have, you know, figured out the thyroid issues. So sleep is better. And there are days, it's not like, you know, don't get me wrong, I still have bad days, okay? And that's part of it.
Oh, I lost you. You there?
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're back.
Okay.
It's funny. It's like the cell service. Every time I say I lost you, then it completely comes back, and it's like, oh, I'm misbehaving.
I don't know what's up with this technology.
Yeah, technology's failing us today. It's okay, moms out there. Technology fails us all the time.
I know. So I don't remember where that.
I don't remember where we were. You said you were feeling better, and you were sleeping. You're sleeping now, and you're waking up.
Sleeping. No more aches and pains. Oh, gosh, what was the other one? Oh, I think I was talking about how we all have bad days.
Yes, we do all have bad days.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling a lot better. My anxiety, like when my diet is right on, I don't have that anxiety anymore. Even when there's not tons of things to do. I don't like having a ton of things on my plate. You know, I'm of the model of less is more.
Yes.
But, you know, we still have our bad days, but on days where, you know, there's stuff going on, I don't feel as frazzled. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's not like, okay, What do you need to do first?
Right.
Okay, that's done. You know, I can think more clearly. There are days where I'm like, oh, I look at my daughter and I'm just like beaming with joy, whereas before I just looked at it as, I don't want to say a burden, but it's just like, I just want my life to go back sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I hate those thoughts that I had, and I could probably cry about it, but, you know, the benefits of changing my diet and putting, you know, these vitamins, and I know that sounds so hippie, but it doesn't hurt to try, you know? I hate those years that I can't get back. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And as someone who, like, I needed the Zoloft, but I wish I'd had more advice about just holistic changes I could make. Like, okay, you need this, but there's just such an emphasis on the pharmaceutical end because that's what's easiest for a doctor to quickly prescribe. And, you know, they don't have the time to, like, sit and coach you through all the nutritional aspects. But, you know, for our listeners out there who maybe are interested in their improving their nutritional approach, where can they find you?
My website is katieeflores.com, and Facebook group as well. You can just go into Facebook in the search bar, type natural postpartum support, and you can find me there as well with some other mamas looking to do the same thing.
Oh, I love it. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Katie.
I so appreciate you having me on. I'm so passionate about spreading this word that, hey, just get your thyroid checked.
Yeah, like, you're aware that something's going on. Now let's figure out, is it a symptom or are you at the diagnosis?
Yeah, I mean, you guys want an answer.
Right. I think it's, and I've heard the number, it's something like 10% of moms have a postpartum thyroid issue.
That's what I was saying earlier. It peaks. It peaks during pregnancy and it peaks postpartum as well. So it is definitely worth it to at least check it out.
See, there's another
issue. The worst that can happen.
Right. You just find, I mean, they checked it for me and it was like, oh, oops, nope, your thyroid's fine. It's, you know, it's just the depression we have to figure out. So it's, you know, who cares if it's one thing or the other? You just want to know and figure it out so you can get better.
Well, I can also put that, I could put that link in too. I actually do have a freebie that talks about, that goes over, here is actually what you need to be checked, because they don't check everything. So I give you exactly what you need to ask for. I give you exactly the numbers that you want to shoot for. It's different from conventional medicine. This is like the functional medicine approach, if you will. So if you guys want those numbers, I'm sure Courtney will link that up in the show notes.
Absolutely. I love linking to things in the show notes. It's always sad to me when I'm like, when it's an episode where it's just me and I have nothing to link to, and the show notes are like three lines, and I'm like, let's put in some clip art and make this pretty.
No, I understand.
All right. Thank you, Katie.
You're so welcome. I enjoyed being here.
So that's it for this week. Thank you, Katie, so much for coming on the show. And I apologize. There were some cell phone burps that we had during the interview. So I did my best to smooth things out with the editing. But, you know, I'm me. I'm not a professional. I do my best. So if it sounded a little wonky in a couple of places, that's me, not Katie. And it was actually cell phone coverage, not me. Right? Okay, right. Let's all agree to that. Next week, we'll be back with another interview from Vivian, who is a mom who has been suffering from a postpartum mood disorder and also a neuroscientist. So I had a lot of fun talking with her, and I can't wait to bring you that interview. Head over to ppdadventures.com for show notes on this episode or to sign up for my email list so that I can be in touch at the end of the summer break, which is coming up in a few episodes. Postpartum depression and all maternal mood disorders can feel incredibly lonely and isolating, but you are not alone. There are literally thousands and thousands of women suffering right this moment with you. With proper help, you can and will make a full recovery, and you did nothing wrong to bring this on. This is just the stuff, the shit of life that happens. You are not to blame at all. I love you, and I hope you have a great week.